Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, broadcasting live from the Cubs Convention, the Sheraton Grand. It'll run through tomorrow. The Cubs Convention coverage is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. While you're at the Cubs Convention, stop by Lizzie McNeil's Irish Pub next door. It's next door to the Sheraton for Tito's specials all weekend long. And we're welcoming in our Hall of Famer, Ryne Sandberg. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Here, we'll give you a microphone.
Sure.
Look at that, just like in
radio.
How you guys doing?
You're doing good. Doing How about you?
Hanging in there.
All right, so you've been, Ryne Sandberg joins us on the score, and you've been to any number of Cubs conventions in different configurations. So this seems like such a buzz to me. It's not even the year after they won the World Series. It might have been the year after one of the most disappointing things. Compare and contrast the Cubs conventions you've been to, energy,
I would say the first one that they had, I believe it was in 85.
It was, yep.
So it was right after the 84 season, 85.
Yeah, what happened in the 84 season?
Pretty good stuff.
Were there
pretty
some hardware? Stuff.
There was some hardware. A lot of good stuff. And I think that was the thing that invented this thing was the 84 team and the 84 season. Fans chomping at the bit for 85 to start, see if we could do it again. And then the Cubs convention. It was a big deal. There was a lot of excitement about that. But I would say the last 4 years, I would say tops that. 16, 17, 18, 19. Just for obvious reasons, what the possibilities are on the field. And really, that's where it all starts. That's where excitement starts, is what can happen this year. Once again, the Cubs are going to have a great roster. They need to stay healthy this year. Coming off a 95 win season, which is good, but I think there's a lot more there that can happen with some good health.
Well, and you mentioned too the stretch of great seasons the Cubs have had recently, probably the best four-year stretch of Cubs baseball record-wise since the 100 years ago, back during the early days of baseball. As you see this team, and you mentioned health, certainly that's got to be the biggest part of it. In your mind, is it starting rotation health? Is it Chris Bryant's shoulder being back to normal?
I'd say all the pieces. I think that's what we saw. I mean, they didn't have Chris Bryant for about 2 months. They didn't have a closer for half a season. Starting pitchers, a couple starting pitching. So I think it's all those pieces. And when you put it all together, it looks very good on paper, I think. So when you look at the possibilities of the rotation, very strong. Get the closer role in line, and then everybody lines up in the bullpen, I would say. And then the starting lineup has been terrific for 4 years. So the defense is good, the base running. So, I would say all the parts, very important. And they can't afford to lose a guy. And they have great guys coming off the bench, which is very strong. I think that's been one of their pluses the last 4 years, is their extra guys. There's really no step off when they're in the lineup, and some of the regulars get the days off, and they still win games. So I think it'll take all 25 guys and maybe 30 to 32, 35 guys to get through the season. That usually is the case. They'll need some help from the minor leagues. And what we've seen the last few years is strong guys come up from the minor leagues and chip right in and win games and become heroes. David Bote last year, I mean, off the charts. I mean, he was here a week, and all of a sudden they're selling his jerseys in the concessions. And he hit a couple of balls, and, I mean, that's what it takes. But they've had those contributions from the minor leagues, and that's all big.
I wanted to live David Bote's life most of last summer. Of course, that Grand Slam might have been the last time the Cubs got a clutch hit that they needed. And when you see players going through that, when you see a team going through that, Theo said the offense broke. What did it look like to you? What was happening? What were they doing at the
plate? Yeah, they just, they just weren't. It was really hard to tell what the concept was and what the game plan was. And there was really no adjustments throughout the game. If a pitcher was on in the first inning, opposing pitcher, I mean, it just seemed like nothing changed. The at-bats didn't change. The approach didn't change. Javi Baez, I would say, an exception, where he blossomed and really matured as a hitter. Great to see him. He was really the whole offense for at least the first half of the season. So I expect more from him. Anthony Rizzo came on strong, but a healthy Chris Bryant in there. The teams that I was on, as teammates and with the coaches, we had a concept. We had a game plan that day, how we're going to face this pitcher. The hitters would go up there and try those things, and sometimes it varied day to day on who we were pitching, what the approach was, whether we had to work the opposite field, make them come back to our pull side or whatever, sit on the changeup because you're going to get it, whatever it might be. We talked about it, and we had discipline to now take it into the game. It just seemed to be a lack of adjustment throughout the game. And if a pitcher was on, there was no adjustment up there to what the pitcher was being effective with.
Ryan Sandberg, our guest, Baseball Hall of Famer, and other Hall of Famers, too, right down the hall signing autographs, too. Lee Smith, a new member of the Hall.
Love that.
I love it. I was just going to ask you, it's a long time coming for Lee Smith.
Yeah, I've been campaigning for him for a number of years, especially at the Cubs convention, but also at the Hall of Fame. For me, I think just the Hall of Fame itself was backed up in the closer role and getting the guys in. And, it took the Eckersleys to get in, the Raleigh Fingers, Trevor Hoffman. But Lee Smith, at the time of his retirement, we know was the all-time saves leader. So it's just a matter of time. But like anything else in baseball, the Hall of Fame is not perfect. They've had to catch up probably since day one in 1939 when they put five guys in. And those five guys were covering the 30 or 40 years before that.
Sure.
And so they've been behind ever since. Mm-hmm. I think that was the case with Lee Smith. And a great teammate, a big part of the 84 season. But I really liked when he did his nice little slow jog in from the bullpen, coming in there, especially the 3 o'clock starts where he was coming in at 6 o'clock and nobody
yep.
could see the ball.
Can't see anything.
I mean, even the infielders. So it was always a great thing to have a lead with Lee Smith coming in at Wrigley Field.
Ryan Sandberg joins us from the Cubs convention on the Score. Speaking of 84, Bob Costas left NBC, and I couldn't help but think of you. He left NBC. That was such a And trying to explain to kids today,
kids these days,
that was, first of all, it was the game of the week, which has no meaning.
And there was the backup game. The main game was rained out, so he was the backup.
I forgot
about that.
Him and Tony
Kubek were the backup. So it took a rain out somewhere else to not have Joe Garagiola and
Vince Scully or
maybe
Tony
Vince Scully.
Kubek.
Vince Scully, I think, had the main game back then. We got word of it before the first pitch that we were the game of the world, which we called it. But it happened to be the backup game. But Bob Costas, even today, thanks me for that game. He was just starting out announcing baseball games. For him and myself, it was a breakout day, and our careers kind of went upwards after that.
Yeah, you don't have to leave the Cubs just because he's leaving NBC, right?
I'm good.
Stay with the organization.
Yeah, I'll stay with the organization.
That's good. Can I ask you about the adjustments? When you're watching players not make adjustments, you're talking about discipline. This Cubs team had a reputation for discipline at the plate. They worked pitchers. They worked pitcher staff. So did that change from what you saw?
Well, for the most part, there's times where you want to work the count and work the pitcher. There's other times where it's the second or third or fourth time around the batting order, and now it's middle of the game. You've already seen what the pitcher has, and there's guys on base. Now you don't necessarily want to work the count and have a deep count, get down to two strikes on you where you get something tough to hit. Now you want to go up there and be the guy that drives the ball right away, and I was notorious for starting the game by taking the first pitch that I saw. Unless I just saw the pitcher last week, it was different. But I just wanted to see four or five pitches at least, my first at bat, and then go up there and with the rest of the game, whatever the game dictated, then I, if there's men on base, I was up there to hit right away because I knew what he had. If there's nobody on, same thing if I knew a pitch that I'd get. But it was just an educated guess and some thought into my at-bats, depending if it was my first at-bat or my third or my fourth at-bat, depending on the game. So those were just adjustments that I would make, and oftentimes it almost felt like I was setting the pitcher up for that moment where I could now go up there and sit on the first pitch. I know what his fastball's doing. I know the velocity that day. Now I want to do some damage with it, with some men on base, and kind of catch him off guard.
It's fascinating to hear you talk about that stuff, because you're doing this in the pre-data era, whatever you want to call it, right? You didn't have iPads sitting there in the dugout. I mean, this is stuff you're doing.
That's
all
right.
Your homework. Yeah. On your own ahead of time, right?
Yeah, with teammates. Yeah, the Gary Matthews, the Bill Buckners, the Andre Dawsons, whoever, Mark Graces. We talked about who was pitching that day just on our own around our locker. There was no formal meeting. There was no stack of 55 pages of paper to look at. We just talked about, hey, we saw this guy 2 weeks ago. This is what he did. And so we kind of share that through batting practice. And we'd actually take our batting practice according to who was pitching that day. If it was a soft throwing guy, we'd actually sit back on the ball and try and work the other way. We didn't take batting practice the same way if we were facing Tom Glavine or Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan, we'd ask for a little bit more on the ball, maybe move the screen up a little bit closer and emulate what we're going to see that day. If we're facing a guy like Tom Glavine, we just work the other way and ask for some pitches away so we can wait on the baseball and take batting practice accordingly. But we all did that as players. We didn't have to have a coach tell us to do that. And that's the way that we were brought up in the minor leagues, was to be our own coach, because they didn't have all those coaches at the minor league level.
Right.
You had a manager, you had a pitching coach. The hitting coach you'd see once or twice a season. They'd just come in and check in, see how you were doing. The infield coach would rove around. You'd see him once a month. So we became to be our own coaches. And so for me in the box, that's what I felt on the on-deck circle. First of all, driving to the ballpark, actually going to bed. Let me go back even further. Going to bed, I knew who was pitching the next day, and I would have at-bats go through my mind before I'd fall asleep on facing that guy last year, 2 years ago, last week, last month. Wake up, okay, this guy's pitching once again. Get to the ballpark. If it's at Wrigley Field, driving down the expressway, check the flags, see which way the flags are blowing.
Right.
To see if I got to stay on top of the baseball because it's blowing in 30 miles an hour. Or if it's blowing out, I'm actually going to not miss my pitch, swing a little easier, and just let the wind carry the ball. So I think about that and then talk to the teammates, have batting practice, and be ready to go for the game.
Wow, who needs a coach? You do all that. You don't want to talk to coaches anyways. You just leave them. Go ahead. Leave me alone.
And the video thing.
I'll go do it.
Yeah, the video. We had some early video. It was VHS, which was not side angles at
times.
You had
Reggie Vision.
Yeah.
Reggie was selling it. Reggie Jackson. It was Reggie Vision.
Yeah, every now and then we get a camera at center field, at Wrigley Field, and get the pitch coming in. But I just looked to see what the pitches were doing, what his movement on his pitches were. That's all I looked for. I wasn't really studying myself. Where's my hands? Where's my feet? I just want to know what the pitch was doing. I was telling the story yesterday. I was, I believe it was 1991. This is the type of help I got from my coach as a manager on hitting. Went into Don Zimmer's room, manager's office. I think I was hitting about 245. I just walked in there and said, "Zim, I'm just not where I want to be offensively. You've been around me a few years. Do you see anything?" He goes, he just thought about it for about 2 seconds, and Zim said, "Rhino, tonight I want you to go up there, see the ball, and whack it." I said, "Okay." I turned and walked out, and that was the hitting tip of the game. Yeah.
Hard-hitting analysis from Zim there.
But what he's saying, see the ball, very important. See the ball.
See the ball.
That means it's going to be a strike. See the ball and whack it. That was it. Nothing more than that. Not, oh, your hands are a little, you're half an inch too high. You know, your stride might be a quarter of an inch. It was nothing about, he knew I could hit. He just knew that I needed to get a base hit. And the most important thing is to see the baseball and put the bat on the ball.
It's really pretty compelling stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? I hit a double off the left field wall in Montreal, where it was a tough place to hit. Had two hits that game and then went on and caught fire after that.
So it worked.
It worked, yeah.
Good advice from Zim then.
Which pitcher owned you, Ryne Sandberg?
Well, I'm a Hall of Famer, so none did.
That's the best answer.
That's what I tell my grandkids anyway.
There you go.
You know, when you're a Hall of Famer and then years go by, as the years go by, the lies kind of get a little bit bigger but everything. But honestly, the one guy that really got my attention, I talked about going to bed, who's pitching tomorrow. Nolan Ryan, we would actually check the rotation of the Astros about 10 days in advance to see if we're going to see Nolan in the Astrodome.
Really?
See the lighting in this hallway right here? This was the lighting of the Astrodome.
That's right.
It wasn't any better than this. Yellow lights, dark, and here's Nolan out there. He was actually throwing 105, 106 miles an hour. It wasn't 100, but the new technology proves it was 105. He would keep that for eight innings. He'd buzz a couple hitters up and in under the chin just to let the whole lineup know that, hey, don't be digging in. If there was a rookie in the lineup, he probably got one in the middle of the back just because he was a rookie. And he had a curveball that started about 2 feet behind my head to be a strike. He had to hang in there on that. Other than that, everybody else was kind of ordinary. But it varied year to year who I had difficulties with. And what happened was if one guy owned me 1 year, the next year I would think about that. I'd make the adjustment, and I would do whatever I could to at least get some hits off of that guy, which usually turned into doing much better against that pitcher.
Ryne, appreciate you stopping by. Thank you
very much
for your time.
Good to see you,
Ryne.
Yeah,
Hall of Famer
guys.
Ryne Sandberg.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.